Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach, brought to you by the TeacherCast Educational Network. If you are in charge of professional development and looking to build an innovative digital learning experience, this is the podcast for you. Join us each week as we uncover strategies that tech coaches are using to drive their digital transformations one classroom at a time. And now for your host, with over two decades of experience working with tech coaches and edtech companies from all around the world, Jeff Bradbury.
And welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is Ask the Tech Coach podcast episode number 260. And today I have a fantastic instructional coach to talk all about organization, building systems, and how you can create something pretty amazing that's keeping track of all the things that your instructional coaching department's doing, not only this year, but for years to come. Hope you guys have had a chance to check out some of the things that have been going on over at TeacherCast. AskTheTechCoach.com has been completely regenerated, and I got a lot of amazing podcasts, blog posts, and so much great stuff out there. We're also going to be publishing some new lesson plans that I've been using in my own classrooms. So if you haven't had a chance to check out all the stuff over at the brand new TeacherCast.net, check it out today and let me know what you think about it. I'd love to have you guys be featured on an upcoming podcast. My guest today is an instructional coach from San Antonio, Texas, and I am excited to have her here on today. I want to bring on Miss Jessica Winston. Jessica, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Hello, I am great. How are you today?
I am absolutely fantastic. I'm just sitting here giggling because on your screen, I see a cat tail just coming in. That is awesome. I love the extra guest. Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's happening these days down in San Antonio?
Oh, well, we're all getting ready for, you know, the eclipse tomorrow. I don't know whether or not we're going to be able to see it because it's overcast. But on our team, we're getting ready for state testing, which is going to be happening here in April pretty soon. So we're all in review mode. And then some of us are thinking, okay, how can I get started for next year? Kind of taking stock of where we are at this point in the year, for me, at least for a coach, like what's worked really well and what am I dumping and never doing again?
And you know, that is a topic that I'm seeing a lot on our Facebook page, on the New to Coaching Facebook page, even on, you know, on Rochelle's Thrive to Learning page. Lots of people are starting to turn that corner, look at the following year. I know for ourselves, like we're now in the fourth marking period. What can we do? Before we get into the next year stuff, take us back. How big is your instructional coaching department? What are some of the systems that you needed to have in place for this year?
Yes. So I, my instructional technology department, we service several campuses. So in the elementary side, we could have up to four campuses or five in some cases. So I have four campuses, elementary, PK through fifth, and I need to be able to keep track of when I can work with those teachers, where they are in their instructional day, how often can meet with administrators to talk about what sort of goals are going on their campus and the actual logistics of their devices and where they're located and what they're being used for, hopefully, you know, meaningful technology use. So at the very beginning, at the very least, I need directories and calendar blocking and the ability to make appointments easy between all of the elementary teachers that I visit with.
So you mentioned a few different things here. Let's break this down. And by the way, if you're listening to this episode and trying to take notes, I'm going to do my best to get all the show notes ready. Again, this is episode 260. Let's just talk about the basics of organizing here. There's a lot of coaches that are always asking the questions about things like calendars and bookings. Let's start with a broad brushstroke. Your district is primarily using what? Is it Google-based, Microsoft-based, or other?
We have both, but for our department, we make all of our plannings and run things through Outlook. Several campus leaders, some of them use Google calendars, but primarily for us, it's Outlook.
And are you creating Outlook groups for your teachers? Are you creating groups for your coaches? Are you utilizing Microsoft Teams as a communication tool? What is that first layer of organizational structure for you?
Yes, we communicate with our teachers through Teams. For my four campuses, I have a different channel for each one. And then in there, just our random chats. That's about as deep as I've gone into the Teams organization. I know that you can do so much more with it, but you know, there's not been kind of time to been spun up on it, I suppose.
Well, I was curious about the professional development. Are you saying that every building has a team? Every grade level has a team? How is all that stuff organized from the, let's start at the biggest level and then break the onion down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So we have our overarching team from the district, and they've got things that go just to elementary, just to secondary, and then for everybody. But for our department, we've got our secondary teams, and then we've got our elementary chats underneath that. For me, I've got four campuses. So Campus A has its own channel, and within there, they have a general channel, which the principals and people, they just post to. And then I have my own instructional technology channel underneath there. And I just primarily post there and then tag the whole school. I don't try to do a lot of posting in my Teams. I'm pretty sure about 95% of my campuses know of Teams, but sometimes you've got heavy users in light. But that's the structure that I work with.
And how long has that structure been working? When did your school district adopt Microsoft and Teams and such?
I'd say I've been on the team about 4 years. It's been 4 years because we were using what's right before then? I think it's Skype, maybe. Mm-hmm. A type. We did that, and then we were going to all move to Teams. Our department moved there first to kind of kick the wheels and see what was going on before we rolled it out to teachers. And then that came later. And so now we all just primarily do that.
So it sounds like Teams is a, if I could say the word, primary form of communication. Let me throw that and say Teams channels versus Teams chat. How do you communicate, and does that replace email for you?
No, there's still email. Because I feel like our district also uses Blackboard to communicate to parents, but then also admin does that as well. But it's different at every campus. So our team's communication from admin is very sparing. I think they stick mostly to email because that's something consistent that everybody can access. And maybe, you know, teachers might not have Teams even loaded on their laptops, or it's not working for whatever reason. So the safest bet is for administration to send through email.
Okay. So you've got your communication through Teams. You're doing your internal stuff also through Outlook. Does Google play a part in this at all? Are you using Gmail? Is there a Google Calendar? Everything's in OneDrive. Everything's in Outlook.
Yes, everything's in OneDrive. We do use, we do have Google Drives to kind of house all of our files, documents, videos, and things. Some of our team has used Google Calendar for the appointments, but because we have to run it through Outlook, sometimes they just don't talk nicely to each other the way our filters are set up. So we just stick to one.
Mm-hmm. And so how do people find their coaches? You had just mentioned Google Calendar appointments. Are you also, or are you primarily using Microsoft Bookings? What is that process like in case somebody wants to bring a coach in or schedule a meeting with a coach?
So it looks different for all of the coaches. About 4 years ago, you would either go back and forth with the teacher and say, hey, what time are you available? We know where their conferences are, and we know when their after school planning period starts. But, you know, just going back and say, oh, I can meet with you on Monday. This is what I have available. In the very beginning, I had my paper calendar, and then I had my digital, you know, Outlook. But I figured there's a lot of back and forth between that. So I attempted to use Bookings, and not a lot of people on my team had tried it. I think maybe it was just kind of a hard swing up to get started, but I created a lot of stuff and I made a lot of mistakes. And now, it's a lot easier for me. So I use Bookings primarily. Each campus has their own booking page. It all lands on one calendar. And so if somebody takes that spot at one of my campuses, is gone from everywhere else. I have different services. I primarily stick to, we're going to plan a thing. We're going to build the thing together, and then we're going to run it with your students and reflect afterwards. Those are usually my four main appointments that are available to all the teachers at my campuses.
So let's pause there, right? Because we've talked about your digital organization. We've talked about your calendar organization. We've talked about a little bit of the communication organization. One of the questions that's popped up a lot in our coaching groups is the fact that quite often coaches are creating all of this infrastructure, but the adoption isn't there, right? Like, you're creating all, you got your booking calendar, you got your teams, you got your, but a teacher's still going to find you in the hallway and say, hey, I need, or they're going to email you and you're going to be like, but I've got a booking calendar. Why are you still emailing me? Mm-hmm. What are you, singular, what are you, plural, as a district, working on in order to convince your staff, this is how we're going to be, you know, worked with, spoken at, you, how do you get that adoption? And so that way people are actually using the systems that you're creating.
Mm-hmm. When I first started using booking, it was hard for me to figure out. It's been a lot of hours, but once I saw it working easier for me, that's the first thing that I would say to teachers. Okay, this, you will have the most update look at what I have if you go to this link. It's in my email signature. And I said, you can get to me the fastest on Teams. I have a set time during the day to check my email because that's just easier for me. Otherwise, I get lost in it. So they know how to get to me quick through Teams, and I'll send them my booking link, or I'll maybe have one-off conversations like, okay, well, I'm available here. Are you, back and forth? I try not to do that too much because there's too many ways for me to drop a ball and miss an appointment. So I always push the my booking hub, and I've shared it with my team. There is no set you will use this yet across the board. So it's just a work in progress. I've just found something that works for me for now, and I'm trying to bring along as many people as I can.
I'm curious because, you know, you and I are both those first adopters. Like, hey, we're trying this thing and here's how it goes. Yeah. But when other people on your team haven't adopted the same system yet, how does that work out both internally in your department or externally? Do you find that you're, you know, rah, 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 hey, everybody, let's try this? Or, hey, if we all don't try this, no one's going to adopt. Like, how do you bring about the adoption curve?
I feel like it's the same as on your campuses. When you're trying to roll something out, you have your people who are ready to go, and you have people who are just not ready. It's just opportunity is not there. Timing is not right. And I feel like that's what it's like on the teams. I do revisit, and I mention I'm using this, and these are the successes that I'm seeing, and these are the things to look out for. And so maybe they're just kind of waiting to see how well it goes, but I've been pretty consistent. I've shared everything that I've made so far. So whenever they are ready to adapt, they have what they need through me. Like, I will happily like help them with that.
Is there opportunities in your team to do PD with each other? So that way there is that coach teaching coach, or, you know, hey, what are you trying? Let me show you what I'm trying. Are those internal PD sessions available?
They are available, but they're sparse because we're a very small team in a very large district. So we're pulled in a lot of different directions. And when we are together, we don't have those set spaces where we can consistently teach each other. We do get together and say, okay, hey, you come over to my campus and we're going to work on this side by side. But it's not on this day we're going to teach this, but it is something that we are talking about getting into place for this next school year. As part of the professional learning team, we've all mentioned that we have tons of knowledge on this team, and we have strengths and we have weaknesses, and we could all be learning from each other. And so that's the goal. That's a goal for us.
So let's peel that onion back. Let's go beyond the teams and the Microsoftness. What other kinds of systems have you created to help keep you organized and efficient?
Oh, the thing is that I feel like in my brain, I am the least organized, but I'm cosplaying as somebody who's trying real hard to be organized. So I've got my paper calendar. I have that with me. And then I update it back and forth with when my bookings drop on. And let's see.
Now, I noticed that you mentioned earlier off camera that you've been using an application that we actually talked about last week called Notion. Anybody who has listened to the episode last week, go check it out. 259. I did it with Milo Meets and I kind of fanboyed over the app. Many of you guys might know I've been using Notion to basically run my business, my life, my teaching, my coaching, my everything about everything that I'm doing. Notion is my answer. How did you find Notion and what are you currently using it for?
Oh, golly. At one point, I feel like my second year, I was trying to run everything through OneNote and then I fell upon Notion. I was like, what is this? And then I saw templates and I joined tons of Facebook groups and I watched a lot of YouTube videos because it was one dash, one place that I could drop everything and calendars and appointments and files and things. And so when I started getting into Notion, I was like, okay, this is going to be my tracker for this campus. I'm going to keep all of the emails and the staff. So that was really exciting. And then I just branched out from there because I saw ways that I could do like a self-paced PDs and YouTube playlists of teaching this certain concept. I was making cards to make all of Notion look beautiful. I also used it with teachers as we did this in your classroom. Let me just give you a one pager of what we did, student artifacts, extra places to go to learn more, and obviously book me here. And it's helpful to have those things and say, okay, here, have this link. We might be doing a pre-K academy. Here's how you get ready for it. And I've shared that as well. So
it sounds like it has replaced in some ways traditional Word docs, Google Docs.
Yes. And I still have to hold space for those two because that's what our teachers and our kids are using. But I like that I can drop them in and I don't have just the file links, or you can have the preview. I'm a very visual person and being able to drop those things on a page is so much more helpful.
I'm curious to know if you've had the same experiences that I've had when you sit down with somebody and you know, they're wherever they are on their tech integration journey and you pull out Notion and you have to explain it. First of all, how do you explain Notion to somebody else?
Oh, golly. I have, when I show it to my friends, I just call it like my one-stop shop, my digital dash. It's just so large.
I call it digital Lego.
Right. you've got so much stuff in there that you could go any direction. So that is my initial thing to kind of overcome because I feel like I fire hose all over people when I find a new tool that I'm excited about. But I haven't shared it with a ton of people just because it can be overwhelming, but it's just a place for me to keep my things.
If you are looking for more information about Notion, please check out all the Notion stuff that's over on TeacherCast. We are getting ready to launch some new templates and showcase what it can be doing for coaches. I'm sorry, I cut you off a little bit. I'm excited about all this stuff because this is amazing that we can do these different things. I got to ask, what are your coaches? I mean, do you keep that from your coaches? Is that your secret weapon? Do you use Notion to organize other coaches? Are other coaches using Notion in your system, in your workspace? What's that adoption been like, if any?
No, it has not been adopted because I feel like they see it as another, I might have to pay for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas that has never stopped me. If the tool is going to help me do the thing, I don't mind forking over a few ducats to get that done. And because I've seen such promise with it, it's just one that I'm going to keep around. And I also like within the Notion app part of it, that AI tool to help me rewrite things or bounce ideas or brain dump and then give me action items. It helps where I'm weak in the organization things as well. Just things that I didn't expect it to be able to do, it helps with. So
I started using Notion for TeacherCast 2 years ago, and I love the fact that I can go in there and I can pull up your name and I can say, how many times has Jessica been on the podcast? And it'll give me all the information. It'll give me the links. It'll tell me what the topics are. And I'm just going, thank you. Yes. And I've been using it for all of my lesson plans, all of my presentations. I mean, everything that you see popping out is organized because of that. I don't want to, like, okay, now we're back to fanboying over this application again. But check it out. Again, the episode last week is there. We'll definitely make sure that 259 is linked onto this one over at 260. I'm so excited that there's other people like me that are crazy enough to try out this stuff and test it out. I'm looking forward to when we're finished the conversation. Jessica's going to give me a tour of her Notion dashboard, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. So beyond the Notion, all right, you had mentioned things like Power BI and keeping track. I don't see that many instructional coaching departments going that far, whether it be lack of knowledge, lack of interest, lack of sense of urgency from administration. Why Power BI? Why the need to keep all of that information? And again, I'm going to ask that from not many coaches are being asked to provide that information. So talk to me a little bit about some of the statistics and the analytics and the automations that you are using, and why are you creating all this mess?
Right. Like I said before, I feel like I'm not super organized in the way that I can pull up who's on their break right now or what part of the day are they in. If I wanted to go and drop in, I don't want to interrupt a teacher's workflow. But if I had an app, a tool, a way to automate that, if I'm tapping one campus, campus A, I need to see this teacher about this. If I can get to that information faster without having to dig through tabs and my email and their calendar or their shared drive in Google to get their schedules, I thought, why don't I pull all of that information into one place? And there's got to be a way to be able to access it quicker with the automations. And so our standards are changing a little bit. And in our district, we've already got our TEKS, our Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. We've got ISTE standards. We have our new tech integration TEKS, which are coming up this year. I want to pull all of those resources that we need to pull from, have it in one place, and then have the face of it not be 1,000 different tabs. And so when I was thinking Notion, and I kind of been playing around with that a little bit. And then I think I was just scrolling one night and I saw Power BI and I opened it, and I'd worked a few times with some SPED coaches on data representation, and we used slicers. And I think you helped me out with that. Like, yep. You did. And they loved it. And we keep replicating that. And so this was like the next step up, because a lot of those automations are built into Power BI. I don't know how it works. I'm at that very beginning stage of, oh, I want to be an expert at this, but I have no idea what I'm doing. So logging a lot of time of trying to talk with people who do.
We're talking today really about impact standards, and this is a thing that we're going to be bringing up a lot here on the show, especially as we come closer to that opportunity. I'm going to plug here for when my book gets published, but really it's about being able for instructional coaches to tell your stories through data. And how do you do that? And why do you do that? And how do you leverage the work that you're doing with the information that your administrator is looking for, right? Mm-hmm. And if your administrator is looking for a certain thing, how can the instructional coaches be showing that, yes, they are helping the principal achieve those goals, achieve those standards, meet the needs and goals of their PIP and their SIP and their DIP and their all of those other IPs, right, that are out there? Mm-hmm. How much of this information that you're collecting do you make known to others? I've seen coaches that have a ton of information and it's all private. I've had coaches that share this with their principal on a here's everything. And then I've had coaches say, I only show them what they need. But if they have more questions, I have a bigger smorgasbord here. What is the privacy in all of this stuff? Many people might look and go, you're just a coach. Why are you collecting my schedules? What is the purpose of all of this stuff? And what is made readily available to people?
Yes, because our job is to make impact on campuses, ultimately to help with student outcomes, but we have to grow teacher capacity. We have to make sure that they're okay and know what they're doing. So in that, we are embedding our coaching, and I need to spend time with them across four campuses that have different schedules. I have to be able to navigate and move between those. And so I need the schedules for that. But then once I'm on the campus and I am helping admin and the teachers work towards whatever their goal is, we are working with NASOC goals, the new art and science and each campus has maybe decided, I want to focus on this element. And so all of the PD and all the embedded work that I do with teachers should point back to that so that we are hitting those skills. And I want to be able to say, we work with teacher A, B, and C on this to support the goal of this. And here's the data to see where your teachers are, where the kids are, and if we were successful or not during our time together.
And is working with a coach a volunteer program, or are they told they have to work with you?
It varies from campus to campus. It is they're very rarely volunteered. It is a we offer kind of thing, and some teachers have taken us up and stuck with us consistently over years. But it is a lot of me. One of my teammates says it's kind of like we're creepy watch salesmen. Like, hey, I can help you with this. You got to knock on a lot of doors and hang out and say, will you work with me? Kind of things.
So what you're saying, if I can sum all of that up, it's building relationships.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, and again, I say this on all the shows, it's all relationships, and it's fascinating listening to you. And I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off a lot. I don't mean to, I'm just excited about all this. You're building all of this structure and yet you're being successful. And I mean that in the way that there's so many coaches that are out there that I've worked with or that I've seen over the years that are building up these structures, and yet they don't have the buy-in of the coaching program from administrators. So they've got all the infrastructure, but they don't have a way to get into the classrooms because the teachers are not being recommended to work with said coach, whether they're in one building or 20 buildings.
Yeah, that is also the story for us too. It varies from campus to campus. Sometimes we have very supportive administrators who plug in the time for you and make it an upfront part of what the teachers are hearing. And then we have the opposite of the spectrum where the admin maybe don't fully understand what we bring to teachers and students. And so maybe not a lot of time is blocked out for that or even support. So we have the range, and you're right that the prepping and the planning for all of that is there on our team. We're ready whenever they are. You just never know which relationships are going to be what by what time of this school year.
Well, let's mention that, right? It is the time of school year where maybe it's no longer needed to have a coach in the room. It's, you know, we're in May basically at this point. We're hit that downside. Many coaches are out there searching for ways to come up with how do I improve for next year? And so let's talk a little bit about how we're going to take these organizational structures and progress them so that way next year you're all set. Do you usually start fresh with things, or do you usually take the structures that you have and add to, tweak, etc.? What's your method for the summertime?
Yes, it is. Let me keep what's working and let me ditch what's not. This is the first year that I have looked at my Google Drive and thought, this is not as efficient as it should be at all. This is a rat's nest of files and nonsense from even when before I was teaching to coaching things that I've made now or things from the department. So I mentioned this to my husband. I'm thinking of this as, if I am moving into a new house, I would like to block off, this is where I'm going to put this. So maybe there might be just five files that I've used consistently. There is no need for me to bring over the 1,005. I can just pull the five into a brand new folder and say, these are my templates that I want to use. The rest of it, get it out of the space and then go from there. I feel like that's what I want to set myself up for in this next year, as far as what resources I have available to me.
Yeah. There's not a lot of educational things more satisfying than calling a folder archive. Yes. And just saying, you know, I could sit here and I could organize it into folder and folder and folder, and I could call it, just dump it into one spot, call it archive. You'll still be able to find it, right? It's no less satisfying than working with a teacher or an administrator and saying, move out of the inbox. And then suddenly 50,000 emails, like, where'd they go? No, they're still there. Okay. They're just making you feel a little bit lighter on your feet. So use that as a recommendation, my fellow coaches out there. Just create an archive folder. You can put a year, right? Like, here's archive 23-24. Just do that, right? Yeah. And run with it. There's no need, right? Just work that out. The other thing in here is tidying up, right? Just making sure that your booking forms, you know, I've been known to use a booking form for an entire year, not realizing there was a spelling mistake in my last name. Small things like that, right? Just take a moment to actually read this stuff, because right now, as we're listening to this conversation, you have 5 months, right? So little bit by little bit, what are some of the things in your coaching group that you're sitting here going, this is not going to work? Let's abandon ship. And let's try to find something new. Like, what are those things that you know right now in May are you're done with this?
Yes. Our team, we have a newsletter, and our department has tons and tons and tons of resources. I feel like we're a team of 21. And instead of chit-chatting with each other, let's say that I need something on Canva, I'm going to make the things. Whereas 8 of my teammates might have already made the things and put it somewhere in a Google Drive, and then we don't talk about it. And so now we have all of these things placed in a document or a spreadsheet that isn't easily accessible, and then it just gets really messy. So the organization of the resources that we create or have created, that's one thing that needs adjusting and that I have to stop.
I've got something for you here. Can I please?
Yes. Yes, please.
I can't tell you how many times I've worked with instructional coaching groups, and person A has a whole bunch of stuff and person B has a whole bunch, and they don't know, right? Yeah. My advice, chime in on this, create a Google site, something that you can all just dump stuff together, right? Like, a Google Doc is nice, but there's 100 of those. Create a site, create a OneNote, create a Notion, whatever it is, but everybody has access to that. So that way, when you're working with a teacher and they say, what do you have on early explorers? Well, here's what we've put together, right? Here's all the topics, here's all the lessons, here's all the this, here's all the that. And if you don't want that, here's other things. Yeah. They might not be all yours, but you work as a team. So let's put it all in one location. And I think that's the beauty of having a combined Microsoft team. As long as the department is putting all of their work in that team, then everybody has access to it, or a shared Google Drive, or whatever it happens to be. But I'm just one of those people that when I'm working with a team, and I'm sure you are too, I don't put things in my drive. I put them in the organizational drive. So that way everybody has access to it that needs it. And I'm always the one barking about making sure that it's named the right way. You know,
yes.
Everything has a proper naming. I can search for it. Early explorers, grade 4, unit 2, whatever it happens to be. But you just hit it right there, right? Like, if you're going to be building it, you said 21 people. There's no reason to be hiding the work that you're doing. Bear that. No. Because then it can say, oh, hey, Jess, I noticed that you have this early explorer. Could you show me that? Could you help me with that? Now you've got your coaches interacting with each other on the back end in order to help out the entire school district on the front end. And that's how Jessica's not in 4 buildings. She's in 20 buildings.
Yes. Efficient, that part.
It's amazing, right?
It would be lovely. And I feel like we're working towards that with our groups. We're just not there yet, but it's coming.
And what is another thing that you're looking to move or update?
I'm looking to, just like you mentioned, going back and looking at your bookings. I saw yesterday that I have the response to them booking, here's what you need to get ready for your appointment. And there's a link to one of my Genially's. And I thought, where does that even go? And it's been on my to-do list for months. Go in and refresh the services and the messages that are going to the teachers from your bookings. That's what has to happen before next year as well.
I'm right there with you. Recently, when I decided to take TeacherCast down and pull it back to life, and I'm still in the middle of this, like all of my newsletter stuff is gone because all the links are bad. And I just recently, a couple of days ago, took my contact form and I redesigned it. And by the way, the contact form goes directly into a Notion database. But I looked at all the questions going, am I asking the questions that are going to give me the answers? Or am I asking the questions that are going to make me then respond to everybody else? So there's a lot of things that we can work on in those. I think it's also important as you go through here to figure out not just the questions that you're asking your people, your teachers, but also take a moment to look at the data that they're giving you. For instance, making sure that all of the feedback that you're getting is able to be used to help you change what you're working on as an instructional coach. So one of the things that I know you had mentioned is email communication. Briefly, talk to us a little bit about how that works. Do you do a weekly email? Does your team do a weekly email? Are all 21 coaches responsible for creating individual weekly communication? Or are there not any because you have things like Microsoft Teams?
No. We do primarily talk to teachers through email. For my experiences, I try to keep my emails very short and to the point. Our team sends out an instructional technology newsletter, usually monthly, but we do have teammates that send things out weekly. So what we do as a team, we come together and find out what is the most important information from the district. Where are we in the IPG and what resources can we share and opportunities for PD, and we always point back to the coaching. So that goes into the newsletter. They're usually themed. I usually pick the most interesting five topics, and then I'll put that in my monthly newsletter, and that'll be all that I send. And then the rest of the communications, if I have onesie twosie things, I'll send them through Teams just as a quick message.
Do you have a list of which staff members are Teams friendly? So that way you're not just putting something out in the middle of the woods and realizing that they're on the beach?
That they're not aware of it. Yes. Oh, I know. I have had conversations when we're all in the room together, and I'll say, so I sent you the link in Teams, and that'll be some heads that pop up and say, Teams, what? I don't even open that, because it's one of those things that if it's on my screen and it's popping up, it's a distraction during my instructional day. And some people will ignore it, or some people will go and say, oh, what was that?
And that's so hard, right? Especially when you're in a position where, you know, your technology administration says, we're moving out, you know, we're moving in this direction. Help us move in this direction. Mm-hmm. But that's as far as it goes, right? Like the teachers aren't being pushed into that. You're the one. You then become the bad guy because you're trying to get them to do things, yet you're just doing what you're directed to. Okay, that's another conversation completely.
Right.
What I think we can wrap up here with is, you know, building relationships. All of your organizational structures come because of these relationships.
Yeah.
If you have those, everything else falls in place. Your communication falls in place. Your drive versus OneDrive versus OneNote, all of those things, right? Again, mm-hmm. A coach can't be building everything in OneDrive if the rest of the coaches are building it in Google Sites.
Exactly.
Doesn't work, right? If many coaches are using, and I've been in this situation, you know, district is moving in direction A, coaches haven't figured that one out yet, and you're trying to build in direction A, but everybody else on your team is in direction B, and you're going, but wait a minute, then there isn't going to be one centralized location for all of this stuff.
Nope. Nor is there going to be one message, one overarching message. If we are tasked to do A, B, and C, and we've got people doing J, K, and F here, and then a few A, B, and C's, it's not cohesive. But when it is, when it does work that way, when we're all on the same page, it's so much better for us, and it's so much better for the people that we help. So
looking towards the future, we have a marking period to go. Some of us have some time in the summer, but we know that the year is going to start again in August/September. What is your advice to any coach out there right now who is in these positions like we are, going, okay, I got so many things to do, but now I've got a 4-month ramp up. I've got a lot more free time in my schedule because the teachers are, you know, they're in break mode already. How can coaches take advantage of the next 7 or 8 weeks in order to get ready for September?
Oh, golly. I'm going to say, because this is a strong pull for me right now, is to reflect on the entire year, but in a way that, you know, these things are going to be happening over and over, just like Christmas comes. You're going to get ready all year for that. If I know, and now is the lean time because of state testing, if I go back and say, what was I doing in March? Not a whole lot after spring break, because testing is the focus. Somewhere in there, I'm going to want to try and put myself in front of the people who are getting ready to do all of these boot camps. And I need to mark that in the calendar and just backtrack it. I also want to be very aware of my battery. My battery is a coach and a person, just a human being. Things happen all through the year that knock us off of our course. So also, in addition to looking at what are the tasks that we've been doing and where am I emotionally, how am I servicing people and in my campuses to the best of my ability, but they just check for those dips and make sure I put in during the year those places where I can recharge my battery organically. Make sure reflect, looking at your calendar, what's happened and where do you want to go? I'm going to do that first. And then comes the checklists. Then comes the action tasks and the possible projects. Yeah.
Try something new, right? Try, and if new is getting rid of the old stuff, then that's new, right? New is creating that archive folder, if new is doing a email search for anything older than 3 weeks ago, and you archive all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Or what I like doing is you go in and you set up those Gmail filters, anything from the principal from today back to the beginning of time, all of those things, just start to figure that stuff out. The faster that you can become efficient with these things, the faster that your program will start to grow. And obviously, Jessica and I are just basically starting this conversation. Just please come back on the show. We would love to have you on and continue all of this stuff. And I'd like to even invite you. Yes, you out there who's listening to this podcast, if you would like to be a guest on the show, please head on over to Ask the Tech Coach. You can fill out our contact form. I would love to feature you and all the great work that you're doing. And if you have questions, all you need to do is to ask the tech coach and we will be right there with you. Jess, how can we find out more about the great stuff you're doing in your social world?
Yes, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. J. Winst. That's MZJWINST. And I throw up what I'm doing instructionally on in my campuses and some projects that I've done with students. And I'm probably going to focus more on the organization coming up with some of my posts, just following along what works and what doesn't. So that'll be fun to watch.
And of course, you can check out all the great stuff over on TeacherCast. Head on over to AskTheTechCoach.com for over 260, I can officially say that now, blog posts, podcasts, lesson plans, organizational tips, strategies, videos, you name it. We're starting to put it all together. Thank you guys so much for making TeacherCast a part of your professional development. And on behalf of Jessica and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to Ask the Tech Coach, hosted by Jeff Bradbury of the TeacherCast Educational Network. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at Ask the Tech Coach or online at www.askthetechcoach.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.